The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership. Welcome to Town Matters on WWER. Town Matters is here to inform Colonial Beach residents about issues you're concerned with from as close to the source as we can get. If you're on social media, you know it's full of people talking about issues and events around town. It is rife with opinions about what's gone wrong with the way things were done. And it's full of misinformation. Like any form of gossip or retelling of stories, sometimes facts get misconstrued or completely changed. Our goal here is to find out the real story of what's going on, straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. And sometimes, to quote the venerable Paul Harvey, to get the rest of the story. My name is Ted Tate, and I'm sitting with Robin Schick, the mayor of Colonial Beach. We've been talking about a variety of different economic incentives for small businesses here in Colonial Beach. We didn't quite have time to finish all of them, so I'm going to pick back up with Robin, and we're going to continue talking about them. The last thing we talked about last time was the Small Business Administration being a good place to start and get basic information on what programs are available, and also going to the town website and honestly just into the town offices, where although it's not the town's job to do these things, you certainly want to be welcoming and helpful to people who want to start businesses in town, and so you can at least get them started on which direction to go for some economic support of opening or expanding their small business.
I think we have a lot of programs happening right now and initiatives, and so we want to get the word out about that in every way we can, whether that's when you come into town hall, or whether it's when you visit our website, or whether when it's you listen to WWER.
Thanks for the plug.
Sure.
So what other programs do you want to tell us about?
Sure. So we talked last time about the economic incentives in the town code, which are not a rezoning, but just an incentive for job growth and for sales and new types of businesses that we want to attract to town, like healthcare and amusement and tourism, and also technology jobs that have to do and support with Dahlgren Naval Base, which are all important in our town. But we also have several other programs that are available for businesses. And we talked about the SBA Development Center and their 504 loan program, where somebody can buy a piece of property and also develop it, fix it up, whatever they need to do for only 10% down, which is a great opportunity. And we also talked about an enterprise zone, which has been expanded into town, which is a state-run program. But there are some other little local things that we're doing as well. And one of those is the Adopt a Tree program on Colonial Avenue. I have a flyer. I know nobody can see it over the radio, but I'm just going to read it real quick. It's an invitation to Colonial Avenue property owners to adopt a tree to beautify Colonial Avenue. You can order your tree or shrub by contacting downtown Colonial Beach. So you will see, hopefully, this fall, speckled along Colonial Avenue, new trees and shrubs that are appropriate landscaping for each Colonial Avenue property that participates in the program. This is exciting because it's going to bring color year-round to Colonial Avenue. And they were selected by an arborist, gave us tree information from the Department of Forestry, and we got a grant through them to do this program. And so we are not just doing the same tree all the way down Colonial Avenue, because that's actually prone to disease. If one of the types of trees get a disease, the entire street ends up in problems. And you'll see, if you've been down in downtown Fredericksburg, they had that issue.
So a blight.
They had cute little street trees, and then the disease came in, and the whole...
Oh, yeah, not good.
A problem. So you actually want to alternate species along the street. And then also it helps create color in different parts of the street throughout the year. So there's lots of positive about that. We originally had looked into street trees along Colonial Avenue in the right-of-way area, but it's very small, the amount of grass that's between the sidewalk and the street, and it wouldn't support the root system for the tree. And so
you end up getting trees upending sidewalks and
in power lines, lots of things like that, lots of complications. And so to navigate that issue but still want to beautify Colonial Avenue, we are asking private property owners to landscape in coordination. And so that way we have alternating species, alternating colors, and if each private property owner participates, that creates a holistic look there. And that's important. And we've had a lot of participation, which is great, but I'm excited to see this fall that that's really going to go into place. And we will watch it grow.
And this is a thing where you're offering to the property owner a free tree.
Yes, or shrub, or both.
Or whatever.
I mean, yeah. It's a couple of things that you can get. There's a list, and like I said, we have a pre-designated list from Department of Forestry that we've been worked extensively with them on. And it's an exciting program because I think Colonial Avenue has been somewhat of an eyesore for quite some time. Specifically, the lack of shade there. And if you walk Colonial Avenue in the summertime, it's hot. Mm-hmm. It is. It's.
And when we have our parades,
yes,
which in most summers are pretty frequent.
They are. Hopefully, as we get more and more post COVID, I hope we have more and more parades.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like I love the idea of the program. I mean, you're offering people free plants. You've done the research of what's an appropriate plant that will do well in this environment, you know, which is something that some people just plant stuff and they think they can grow anything and they find out that, you know, it dies 6 months later or whatever. And you're giving it, so you've done all the research, you're offering them a nice little menu of different trees and shrubs that they can pick from that they like. So they still get a choice. And all they have to do, I believe, from the program is promise to water the thing for a couple of years.
That's right.
To give it a half a chance to survive.
Yes, please, let's just make sure it makes it, right?
Well, and considering that we pay a flat fee for our water at the moment, there's no reason they shouldn't water it.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost them anything extra to water it.
I think each tree or shrub comes with a donut, a watering donut, that you just fill the donut up and you put it out there, it leaks the water out of it. So we're... We're giving the tree or shrub away, planting it, because we're volunteers are helping us, and Public Works are going to help coordinate that. And then, your responsibility is to water it.
So if there are any listeners who have not heard of this program and you're along Colonial Avenue and it sounds interesting to you, what do they do to get involved?
Contact Downtown Colonial Beach. So that's info@downtowncolonialbeach.org. That's the email address. And it's important that even if you want to participate and the fall planting comes and maybe you see it and then you think, oh, I should have done that, or I just forgot, or I didn't know. This is the kind of program that can expand. Also, the Department of Forestry wants to do it again with us. So if we're successful with the number of plants that we get this time and you don't participate this fall, it's okay. Still contact Downtown Colonial Beach because we can apply for another round to continue this program.
For those who would like to be on this round, is there a deadline for that?
There is a deadline. Probably will pass before this airs.
Oh, really? So the bottom line, rather than saying a deadline, the bottom line to everybody is if you're interested, contact them because they will try to make it work.
Yes, absolutely. And fall is a good time for planting the trees, so... I imagine if this program continues next year, which I hope it does, that next fall we'll see,
even more.
Yeah, a little bit at a time, just one step at a time.
Is there any plan or thought of expanding this beyond Colonial Avenue? Do we know?
Yes, there can be. So we've identified Colonial Avenue, and I say we as really Downtown Colonial Beach, and Joyce Reimer's a big part of this. Because we want to focus attention on Colonial Avenue first. But yes, this can get expanded. It can also go into landscaping our entry corridor. So the signs that say Welcome to Colonial Beach, the one that is down by near Wilkerson's side is adorable and has been redone and is taken care of by, I think, the Colonial Beach Gardeners Club. And I'm so happy about that. But the other sign that is across from Food Lion still needs some love.
A little love.
So, and I think... we need love at that intersection where the light, the one stoplight that we have here in town is. And so maybe some landscaping in that area would be helpful too. So I'd like to see the program expand and kind of reach its arms to welcome people down into that Colonial Avenue.
So that's a program for just residents, not businesses. Do you have other programs you wanted to mention?
Sure. Another program that is an exciting addition here in Colonial Beach is the rehabilitation tax credits for the Commercial Historic District. So we got designation by the state in July, and if you read the paper or maybe you saw online, that state designation was a pretty big deal. But we're going for federal designation in October. And so this fall, hopefully, we will also have federal designation. Those designations mean that property that is within the boundary limits of the district, of the historic designated district, qualify for up to 40% rebates for revitalization, for remodeling within its historical character. And so the program is an important part of taking some of the derelict property that has been in town or vacant or, you know, maybe has had an absentee owner in some cases, or the town has been the owner and has not been able to keep up with it very well, and change ownership, and or even with the current owner, and incentivize bringing some life and love back to those buildings. And so that is a state and federal program, but we'll be holding workshops for people that are interested in participating in that. We held one already, and I think it got recorded, so we can, you know, send that link out to people. But we'll be doing more information on that once federal designation is official.
Ah, so you're still waiting on final approval?
We are. Okay. Yes. And so that will go to public hearing at the federal level.
So that's a state-level program that you're trying to get the town on and get approvals for?
Yeah. So the state has already approved that program, and now we're going for federal designation.
Oh, federal. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. And once we have federal designation, then you apply for both incentives from state and federal designation.
So double dipping on money there?
Yeah, it definitely makes it worthwhile to do the investment. A big problem with, and a reason why several of these vacant buildings haven't been restored is because it's so expensive to do that. And
it's cheaper to bulldoze it.
Yeah, sometimes. And so then it's like, well, we're going to just, if it's more reasonable to bulldoze it, then we just lose that character in your community, though. And so we've got to incentivize it. And I think the state and the federal government recognize that they have to incentivize it. If they don't, it's not going to make it economically feasible. So this is to hopefully make it work in somebody's pro forma. If your business is coming in, you know you're going to have to spend X amount of money to get up and rolling. You've got to make that work for you financially. So,
and this is another example of the council and the town trying to balance the old versus the new.
Yes. And recognizing the importance of our history here. I mean, the importance of the history on the point that we talked about with those economic incentives, those businesses that are gone now that we used to have, that I think a lot of people would like to see come back.
Or something like it.
Yeah, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we recognize we have vacant storefronts, and we recognize that we need to do something more than just talk about it. We need to take action on it. And so we're very supportive of the historic designation, and I'm looking forward to the federal designation happening this fall. And it's one of the contingencies for the restoration of the building that we're in here for the radio station and the building next door where the old bank building and the school board building is that those buildings require an extensive amount of remodeling.
Yes.
And so they would all qualify under this program.
And I'm sure Duke is all over it.
This is the type of program that helps attract developers like Duke Dotson and others to make it economically viable for them to come into a downtown. And they've done so in Richmond through this program. They're familiar with it.
Right, right. He knows all inside and out. It's the small business folks who've never experienced this that we're hopefully also going to try and get involved in these programs.
And I hope to encourage small business owners that they can do this, that you don't have to be a big developer to do a program like this.
Good point.
And that we're going to help facilitate that with the webinars and the small group meetings. And Downtown Colonial Beach is doing a lot of this work. And so I really want to give a big shout out to them, because as mayor, I'm really just supporting their efforts, and have been supportive of their efforts. And a lot of that is ultimately to get to this goal of becoming a Virginia Main Street program.
Mm-hmm.
And that designation, all these pieces play a part in that designation. And ultimately, communities that are designated Virginia Main Streets, you know them. You've been to them. Downtown Culpeper, downtown Staunton or Stan, I don't know. Some people pronounce that different ways. Downtown Fredericksburg is a Virginia Main Street program. And Tappahannock just got designated as a Virginia Main Street program. And if Tappahannock can do it, I know that Colonial Beach can do it. No offense to Tappahannock.
That's funny. I was almost going to say the same thing. That's funny.
Yeah, for sure. First off, Tappahannock has a smaller population than Colonial Beach does.
Okay.
We have more effort, and we have such a large amount of volunteerism here. We have a lot going for us.
Absolutely.
We were originally planned as a destination town, and that character is a part of our history. Nowhere else in Virginia was a planned tourist waterfront resort town, only the town of Colonial Beach. And so I think we have a historic right to being a Main Street program. You know, that's part of our founding. Our original planning was to have a town green, to have the hotel downtown, to have the boardwalk, to have the boats coming in, you know, to be a resort town. And so that designation goes hand in hand with those characteristics.
So the overarching theme in today's program I'm hearing is we were and we can be again.
In our new way.
Right.
Yes, of course. Yes.
That's great. Any others? We've covered a lot of material.
It is a lot. We're also going to be working on, I know we touched a little bit about the town website, ColonialBeachVA.net, that is going through a redevelopment. We just hired a firm that's going to work with us to do that. And in that, we would like to make it easier to access the permits, the forms, the licenses, and business applications. So visit the website in 6 months from now once that's kind of launched, or maybe I can come back and talk once that website has launched about its new features, because COVID has taught us that we, one, need to provide more services online, and two, that it's to our benefit to
streamline the process.
Yes. And you don't need to come into the office for every little thing. And that if I'm paying, you know, meals and lodging tax, I should be able to go on the website, put that in, you know, pay and move on. As a business owner, that makes my life easier,
sure.
Right? And so we need to automate some of these things, some of these services, and the new website should be geared towards automation in some of those ways. Not everything can happen on the internet. I understand that.
But a lot can.
And it's more efficient.
Absolutely.
It's more cost effective. It saves the government money. It saves you time and money to not have to come into the town hall. It's more convenient. And we have a lot of weekend residents, and we're not open on the weekends.
Right.
So if you can automate these processes for those residents, you're going to improve their quality of life too. So it's a positive thing all the way around. The website revamping, I'm excited about. Mm. And another part of that website revamping is also integrating new public works software. And that public works software is going to take work orders and prioritize and categorize and schedule them. And you should be able to have some interactive tool that tells you when your work order request came in and when it will actually get done.
Does that also mean, for example, if there's a water main break, people will be able to go to the website and say, and before they even go to report it, go, oh, look, it's already on there. They know about it. I don't have to report it, and it's being dealt with or something like that.
Oh, that's a good point. I'm not sure about that, but I can ask about it, and that's a good point to take back. And when we do the integration, maybe they're, you know, we'll see about maybe their map of
Exactly.
Incidents that are, or what's on the schedule or something. Precisely. That way people understand it's already been reported. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that idea. I'll take that feedback.
Yeah, because I mean, on social media, I see all the time where, you know, somebody will post, oh, our power's out. Is anybody else's power out? And then, you know, people will chime in and go, you know, we have it on the point, but, you know, we don't have it at First Street or whatever, you know, that sort of thing. So some sort of an active map that tells people, yeah, we know about it. It's here. This is what's this is the general area being affected. And, you know, we're dispatching somebody so they know that it's being dealt with.
Yeah. Now, Dominion does have an app like that. So if your power goes out, you can look at that. But people still talk on Facebook about it.
Of course, they won't stop that part. No, you're right. You're right. But it means that resource is there. And Dominion was what I was thinking of because I know they do that.
They do that.
And when you mentioned a whole scheduling system and everything, I thought, well, maybe the town will do something similar.
Yeah, I know that the main thing that we want to do with the new public work software is one, create a scheduling software that makes sense for our public works guys to organize the work order requests, prioritize them, and then communicate that with the citizen. Look, your work order request is here, but we have, you know, these seven other things that are immediate things that have to get done. You're scheduled 10th in line, or you're scheduled 2 months out, or whatever it is.
And that's fair enough, too. At least people know it hasn't fallen into this black hole, never to be seen again.
Yeah, most of the time, just communicating these things takes a lot of stress out of it for the citizen and for public works. So we want to overall streamline the citizen engagement with the government, with the municipality, that we are providing services better, more efficiently, and we're communicating that better and more efficiently.
Sounds great.
Yeah, so that one is an exciting one, even though I'm sure websites are, you know, not that exciting.
So, Robin Chick, we've covered a lot of stuff. We've started to get off the topic of financial incentives, so maybe we can just backtrack and review all the different things that we've talked about today and wrap up a little bit here.
Sure. I think the point of coming and talking about all of these programs is to show that the town of Colonial Beach is supporting businesses in a variety of ways. Obviously, with the sale of some of the commercial property downtown, with the redevelopment projects, the fact that we fund downtown Colonial Beach, who is a Main Street affiliate, that we support the commercial historic district designation from the state and federal government, that we're collaborating with the Colonial Beach Chamber of Commerce and supportive of their Economic Development Committee and working together with them, that we have a professional marketing firm that promotes the town called Flack Shack, and that we are revising the town website. But there are specific business-friendly incentives that are targeted to support job growth and attract some missing staples of our local economy, and those are the town economic incentives that we talked about at the last month that include the tourism and the technology zone. And
again, to reiterate, these zones are not zoning changes in what you can build and where you build it.
Correct. They do not change the zoning of a parcel. It just incentivizes if you have a business within any of those overlays on the map that you could qualify for an economic incentive if you grow in jobs and you grow in gross sales. The other part of the tourism zone is that we're also incentivizing, you can get the incentive if you grow your business hours. So one of the concerns that we have, I didn't touch on this last month, but one of the concerns is that we have businesses in town that are so small, they're only open 2 or 3 days a week, and that it's not enough, or doesn't seem to be enough. Although there's a lot of want for businesses to be open more than that.
I completely agree. One of my biggest pet peeves isn't just that businesses are not open enough, but that they're often not open consistently. You know, if you say that you're going to be, if you're going to be a coffee shop, then be open every morning, not just when you feel like opening your shop. And I don't know, you know what I'm saying? It's just, there's been a bit of that where the complaint I hear from people and the complaint I have often is that I want to know that a business is going to be consistently open at certain hours and I can count on that.
Yes, right. The reliability of that is important. And it's important for our tourists as well, because I know when people come and visit and I talk to them, if they're here on a Monday or Tuesday, they're very frustrated.
Yes, no restaurants.
They're very frustrated by that. They have a very negative experience about that. Mm. And so, and it's unfortunate because I understand the struggle of a small business operating in the middle of the week here, and that you really have to go out of your way to do that. And you know that maybe you're not making a lot of money on that Monday or Tuesday.
Or losing money.
Or you're losing money. That's correct. So I understand the business side of that. But if we don't have businesses or incentivized businesses opening more hours, more consistently, then we're creating negative experiences for the people that are ultimately supporting that economy.
It's another chicken and egg, isn't it?
It is indeed.
But so now you're trying to incentivize that if they expand their hours, that they can get some kind of a financial benefit?
Correct. So they can get the rebate from their business taxes for 2 years. That's the incentive. And then I think they also get, for 2 years, they get exemption of the B-poll tax. And then they get a reduction of 25% for two more years after that. So it's a, you know, it can add up over time.
And who, if I'm trying to figure out what things I specifically need to do and what benefits those things get me, like what you're just talking about, who do I go to in the town to find out and make sure I'm ticking all the boxes so that I will get these benefits?
You apply for the incentive through the Department of Planning.
Okay.
So the zoning administrator will has application, and she can get it to you, and you can fill the application out and give it back, or she can answer questions about it.
Is there an email, or how would one contact her?
Her name is Kathleen Easley, and it's kasley@colonialbeachva.net.
Okay.
The program is there in her office too, so she can give you the packet, the town code, or you can look up the town code. It's chapter 23 on munico.com. So if you go to munico.com, you type in Town of Colonial Beach, chapter town 20. Code, it's chapter 23.
Okay.
And it should be online already by the time this airs. But the qualifier... Oh,
and that lays out all of the rules you're talking about.
It does lay out all the rules. So if you're a tourism business, the qualifier is you have to expand gross receipts by 10% and increase your number of full-time seasonal employees by two positions over two-year average, or expand your hours of operation to greater than 200 days or 1,000 hours of annual service. And so... you don't have to hire more people necessarily in order to get this incentive, but you have to be open more consistently and longer. So that's and that was another way of targeting tourism businesses that specifically is a need in Colonial Beach. Maybe that doesn't apply in other places. I don't know, you know, but in that came from that collaboration with the Chamber of Commerce and with the business community, saying what kinds of things the town would like to see, the citizens would like to see, but also what would make it worth, you know, a business that was trying to expand their hours and be open more for everybody.
All right. Again, you went to the businesses and asked them, what do you want?
Yeah.
What can we do to help you?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And they had a lot to say, and that was good. And, you know, we didn't hit every business. We did use the Chamber and Economic Development Committee as a conduit to the business community. But I'm also open to other businesses. If you weren't engaged in that process, come and talk to me and I'll explain the program. And I think we've tried to be open-minded about the program working for a variety of types of businesses. And so it's likely that if you're expanding, you're growing, you're creating jobs, or you're, you know, open more, that you may qualify for this.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's all you're trying to do. You're trying to get more businesses to be open, and the businesses that are already open to be open longer and be doing better business, to be making more money. I mean, to
everyone's benefit. And providing more service, right?
And providing more service.
Like if you have hired additional employees over 2 years, you've expanded your service capability in some fashion. You are doing something new. You are offering more service to the community.
And hopefully everybody wins.
Yes.
Because in the longer term, that still benefits the town and eventually your tax base as well as the government, because once they're doing more business, hopefully, you know, when that 2 years is out and those incentives are gone, they're still going to continue that business and they're going to continue to have higher revenues, which they pay taxes on, and everybody wins.
Yeah. And it gives us some flexibility too. The state allows towns to negotiate with developers or businesses that are coming in to provide other incentives as well. And so we've allowed some negotiation options. They would have to negotiate with council, but in that vacant parcel that is out there, we call the Lennar property or the old Wilkerson farm, or, you know, it's referred to by a couple different names.
Where is that, by the way?
Across from the nursing home.
Okay.
Like out where Public Works is. And there's a church over there.
Yeah, so New Hope Ministries.
Yes, behind that.
Behind that. Oh, where the dirt road goes back to the water plant.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And
so that property is part of the incentive programs that we're talking about?
That property is identified as a technology, in the technology zone.
Okay.
And we did that not because we're expecting giant technology businesses to come in there, but it allows some negotiation for if we could attract an urgent care or healthcare facility or job creation. That is a very large tract of land.
Right.
And so we would want to be able to negotiate with especially attracting one of those missing pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And we've given some flexibility in that. And that's important because if you don't allow your flexibility to negotiate with attracting those, you're never going to get there.
And none of those are going to be cookie cutter. So you've got to cater to them.
You
a little
do.
Bit.
And you have to know what their needs are and you have to be able to negotiate that. And that would be a council wide. I mean, that wouldn't be just the mayor or the town manager and it wouldn't be automated. You can just go to the planning director and fill the form out and get whatever you want. That's an entirely different process.
And that, I'm guessing, would be something that it would become a very public process as well, since it's going in front of the council.
Right.
That means that the transparency in the process is there and people will know about it before it just happens.
Well, a lot of times when you're negotiating with a business or development like that, that's proprietary to their needs too. So some of that does happen in closed session.
But at some point it becomes public knowledge.
Absolutely.
And has to.
It has to.
Because you're essentially passing laws that say we're going to do this because they're not quite within all of the code that you've written.
Oh, and you would explain why.
There's some sort of a document.
Right? The point of that if there's a contract negotiated with that. Now, until it's checked by lawyers, a lot of times those things aren't, you know, we don't negotiate all the contract details in public. But
No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that at some point there's transparency to it that people will know it's happening and, you know, understand that process is happening rather than it just suddenly appearing, a building suddenly going up out of nowhere.
Nothing is going to magically appear without it running through the rumor mill first off about 10 times. And everybody will be able to know, although they may not know everything about anything, they will, certainly the information will be out there to be informed.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to come on this show and set a few things straight like we try to do every time.
I expect it.
Robin Schick, thank you very much for coming into Town Matters. It's been educational and it's been fun.
Great. Thank you so much for having me, Ted.
The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership.